Are you gay?
Geeky?
Just enjoy hearing your Good Judy's dish about the latest in pop culture?
Well, then you're in luck.
The boys of Flame On are here for you.
In every episode, we discuss the topics that entrance us.
Whether it's comics, TV,
movies,
drag queens,
or video games,
we've got you covered.
So, if you're ready for your gay and geeky slice of pop culture life,
then sit back and get ready to
Flame On!
Sonos makes it easy to create your perfect sound system and connect to all the content you love. Mix and match speakers to enjoy listening all around your home and beyond. Visit sonos.com to get started.
Spandex makes me horny. Got a patch. Bitch, it's just petting. No, for real. I'm serious. This is Jess. Just petting. You don't know who I am? Get the fuck out. Got a patch. Got a patch. Drag is the new spandex.
What's going on, everybody? Patrick Bear here, and we are back again. Another week, another episode of RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars has aired on Paramount Plus, and we are here to talk about it. I have been so happy to do these recaps. It has been so much fun, and it has been great bringing in rotating co-hosts, really just feeling my pit stop fantasy here, and getting to hear everybody else's opinions on the show so far. This week is no different. This is a voice that we brought in for a recent-ish episode where we took a deep dive into season 14, the season that felt like it would never end. It just kept going and going, and it was chocolate, and it kept going. But you may remember this voice, and if you went and followed him on Instagram or Twitter, then you can thank me in the comments later. But we have got, straight from the bathrooms, Dan is here. What's up, Dan?
Hi, how are you?
I am doing well. And for those of you who did not catch it when he was on the last time, Dan's handle is Dan in Bathrooms, which is where mm-hmm. that comes from. It's not a weird pride coming out story. I don't come out of the closet, I come out of the bathroom. Wiping my mouth as I go.
Yeah, that's generally where you can find me at the gay clubs, just at the glory holes in the bathrooms and just waiting patiently, you know, for whatever white Russian happens to come along.
That sounds
white
delicious.
Ukrainian. How about that?
Yeah, there we go. Yes. I don't want to have to put up a warning screen at the beginning of this.
Right?
We're not going to do that. Yeah. Although that was one of the things that I did not bring up the last time, and we can cut this out if you want to, but you have some phenomenal, like, scruff profile names based off the Drag Race girls. And what was the last one?
Well, so season 14 was Diabottom. My favorite one was Bimini Bombottom. That one I got the most attention for. But I'm getting a lot of attention now for Shea Holea.
That was it. I knew it was Shea.
Yeah, it was really wonderful. And what sucks, so two Sundays ago was Shaka Khan, which is like this really cool queer party they have every Sunday here in Atlanta. And Shea Coulee was there, and I could not get close enough to show her my scruff profile. So that was really, devastating. But she was living her full fantasy. So I don't know. My Shea Holea is just so happy.
I love it. I fucking live.
Honestly, more people talk to me on the apps about Drag Race than about actually doing anything else.
I mean, with some of those profile names, I can absolutely see that. Dan, I am so excited to have you back on the pod to discuss All-Star 7. Before we dive into episode 6, Total Request Live, I've got to know, what do you think of the season so far?
Easily will go down as one of my top 5 seasons of the entire franchise. I really think it's just stellar. I know a lot of people really rag on there not being any sort of negative critiques, but frankly, like, my soul and my energy needed that. Like, I just needed some like constant positivity and just like always ignoring Raja's faults. Like, I just needed that. So I'm fully on board for this season. I thought it was just so wonderful. And every episode doesn't slap. That wasn't a huge fan of the Draguation speeches. It was still good for what it was. But I would say 5 out of 6 of them have been really great. So I'm thrilled.
And which has been your favorite, and why was it Snatch Game, and why was your favorite impersonation Jinx doing Judy Garland?
That part. Although it really sucks because her Natasha Lyonne was so good too, but it just got completely blown out of water by the best Snatch Game performance of all time. So it'd be wild.
Is this my camera?
So good.
Now, whenever I walk around now, like, I literally just start, I will go up to people and be like, is this my camera?
Yeah. But see, like, when I saw that Snatch Game, that's when I, like, it started to click for me. It's like, oh, that's why they don't have Bob and Alaska on here. Because that would have been too many powerhouses in one of the most iconic games ever. Like, and they're so good at it. So it would have been too much. My head could not have handled it.
Literally the entire episode, like, it would have been a minute and a half of them coming into the workroom, a quick snippet of RuPaul saying Snatch Game, and then it would be like a good 45 to 55 minutes of Snatch Game.
Yeah.
If those three were in it, like, because you couldn't, there'd be so much good stuff that would be there.
Yeah.
I want to see the whole Snatch Game because, you know, that thing had to have been like a good hour and a half.
I mean, release it on WoW Presents Plus. Hello, make this worth our while. Spain is over now. Although now they're going to do Canada versus the world. And they said Down Under is coming out on the 30th. And France, all this week, all this month.
Why?
Okay, maybe there's less racism this time. I don't know. Maybe that's why it took them so long to do another season, because they actually did the background check.
One can only hope. One can only hope. Wow.
Scarlett Adams of it all.
Is it me? Am I the villain? Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, you are.
Yeah.
So, all right. Let's get into it, because this was a challenge that hit on so much nostalgia for me to an extent. Because it's weird, like, as a homosexual of my age, I grew up on TRL, but at a kind of later point than what I think they were aiming for as like the nostalgia era. I was very much the beginning of TRL. So in 2001, I turned 20. Yes. So I entered my, I exited my teens, I should say, as like TRL was really becoming a thing. But I have so many memories of TRL and all of kind of the fun things, the crowds that would be outside in Times Square. I'm a born and raised New Yorker, Long Island, so not in the city itself. But that was all of that was based, you know, where I was living. That was a thing. You know, there were all these things where it was like, oh, you always wanted to go and stand outside and be like, can I get onto TRL? Because maybe Christina Aguilera would be there that day. Or maybe, you know, like all of these people who were huge, huge pop stars of that moment would just come in and, you know, hang out, and they'd show videos, and it was fun. But I was a little bit older. What were some of your memories of TRL? Was TRL even a thing for you?
Well, I was 13, like when they were like kind of positioning the time frame of this. So I was 100% watching TRL every day that I could. I would, because A, what really was my only opportunity to watch music videos, or it was The Box, which was like channel 78, and it only came in like squiggly lines. I don't know if you've ever had that. But those were the only two ways I could watch music videos, unless I would watch Alanis Morissette on repeat on VH1, which I didn't. And so, like, I remember, like, Mariah Carey coming out with the Ice Cream with her beautiful tight shirt. Like, I fell in love with Mariah Carey on TRL. And Jessica Simpson. Loved Jessica Simpson every time she was on TRL, even though I didn't even like her music all that much. And then it was funny, like they focused so much on like pop groups, but I remember seeing like POD. Do you remember them?
Mm-hmm.
They were like a weird like Christian rock band. I remember them on there. Limp Bizkit with Fred Durst. Linkin Park. Like when those kind of videos would come up, it was great. It was really great. So I absolutely love TRL. It was great. So this one really filled me with a lot of joy to see it. And I'm like, I'm always surprised every season how they manage to reimagine these musical moments in like different scenarios of our lives, like with the 60s girl groups with season 14 and now TRL. It's like, so it really does excite me how they just continue to reimagine all this stuff. It's cool.
I will try not to take offense to the Alanis Morissette thing, or for you just, you know, shoving it in my face on how much younger you are than I am. But anyway, we'll carry on.
Yeah, you probably had a job. You probably couldn't run home after Latchkey or watch it at Latchkey.
I mean, I've been working since I was 15, so yeah. It was definitely something that it wasn't something I could watch all the time, but I definitely did watch when I could. And it's so funny. I feel even older when you're like the Mariah Carey Ice Cream incident, and that, you know, falling in love with Mariah on TRL, and I'm like, oh god, I was a fan for like a decade by that point.
Yeah, but can we call out the fact that they when they were mentioning the groups, Eden's Crush. Do you remember that?
Yes. And it was funny because I said the exact same thing to my friend who's up here visiting. And I was like, not the Eden's Crush reference.
Right. Come on, like, that is a gay man's like deep cut. Like you are homosexual at 4 years old, if you know that reference. Easily. Mm-hmm. No problem. Yes. Only us gays know the root of Nicole Scherzinger. Only us. It's true. And that's why we're the only ones that support her, unless she goes solo, and then we don't. Which is really too bad.
I mean, I don't find the lie in what you're saying. I just find the humor in it.
Yeah.
Because it's true.
We are a very mean group of people when you abandon other ladies. Just look at Farrah with Destiny's Child. Screw you. We're not listening to your music. Yeah, it's just how it happens.
Wait, did Farrah put out music?
Yeah. She tried.
And funny enough, okay, so we'll you brought it up, so we're going to tangent off here. You realize that Farrah is the only member of Destiny's Child to never record a Destiny's Child song.
Her? No, she's not. Wait, how is that?
Mm-hmm. So there has been.
Wait. Farrah was the one that came in with Michelle?
Yes.
Then I'm thinking of the totally wrong person. I'm talking about LaToya Luckett.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah. First off, and I love LaToya. I listen to her music. So.
Yeah, she's great. She's great.
But Farrah is the only member of Destiny's Child to never record a Destiny's Child song. Because when you had the original four, when they kicked LaToya and LaTavia out of the group, mm-hmm. they brought in Farrah and Michelle. This was during the height of the Writings on the Wall, mm-hmm. and they still put out two music videos. Mm-hmm. If I'm Jumpin'.
Yep.
And Say My Name.
Yep. Say My Name was the big one. Yeah.
I think those were the two videos that were filmed after they kicked out LaToya and LaTavia. So Farrah and Michelle are in the video. They're lip syncing to other people's vocals. And then they kicked out Farrah. And then they recorded DC3 with Michelle. So Farrah was in the group while The Writing's on the Wall was out. And was kicked out before they recorded a new album. So she's the only member of the group to never to be a member of Destiny's Child, but never have recorded a Destiny's Child song.
Wow. How long have you been holding on to that fact?
I tell it to anybody who wants to listen.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Great. Wonderful. I'll add that to my repertoire.
I am just full of bizarre Destiny's Child facts for everybody. If you didn't know it, now you do.
If you ever do a Spice Girls podcast, you know where to get your random facts.
Oh, man. I love the Spice Girls so much.
So good.
Did you hear that Mel B is now going to be taking the place of Leona Lewis on Queen of the Universe season 2?
No, that was a stupid show. So no, I did not.
I liked it.
I watched a couple. Drag queen singing is just one of the more exhausting things that, like, I don't know why we feel like we can put on a wig and all of a sudden we're way more talented than we are. But also, like, I don't normally like the theater type voice like Jan has. Like, everyone says she's such a great singer. I'm like, I'm not a singer, so I guess I can't really judge. I don't find this appealing at all. And she is considered one of the best singers in the franchise. So I don't know. It's not my jam. The very fact that Jujubee got on the show is enough to tell me this is not serious.
Jujubee walked on, sang a song, walked off, and got and went and filmed UK versus the world.
Yeah. Yeah. Ugh. No, ma'am.
They said, oh, well, since you're here, we need somebody to appeal to the US Drag Race audience. Jujubee, just come next door to the soundstage.
I'm not sure that worked. But it is great that Drag Queen is getting the full accolades, doing the full circuit. She's being treated like a Rue girl, which I think is really cool. Good for her.
And she'll be here for Market Days in Chicago in August. So,
yeah, I saw that.
Good for her. I will probably not be there, but
that part.
I thought it was a fun show. I thought that the pacing was ridiculous. Like, you can't have like a 6 or 8 episode series and have 37 contestants and then be like, well, today we're going to eliminate 5 people. Next episode, we're eliminating 12. Like, I need consistency. I need to know what is going on.
Well, and just
that show did not give it.
The judging just didn't feel serious. Like, it was like, you could have had some real critiques here. Now, granted, I only watched the first 2 episodes. But like, the critiques just didn't actually feel helpful in any sort of way. It's like you were sucking off Jujubee and then you kicked her off.
You mean
what are we doing here? What are we doing? Anyways,
there were some helpful ones as we went along. And I mean, Vanessa Williams is a fucking legend, icon, treasure. So yeah. I'm always here to support Vanessa L. Williams. And while Trixie is probably one of my top 2 favorite singers from the franchise, a lot of it was not, it was a lot of fluff. But I thought overall it was a cute show. Hopefully they'll fix some of these issues for season 2. I'm still mad that the bearded Australian queen got eliminated.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name.
So angry you just blocked it out.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I just if not, then I would just, you know, I would need to see a therapist about it. And just,
we should do that anyway. You should just, I mean, I could see it. I could see the anguish. Just see it anyway. Yeah.
I mean, that's just the normal issues that I have that I need to see a therapist about. But okay. We've tangented.
We went all
the way
the
off the rails. But we are here to talk about episode 6, Total Request Live, bringing it right back around. We talked about TRL in real life, and now the queens re-enter the workroom, and they are treated to a lovely conversation of just more drag queen goodness. Raja, very excited to have won her first legendary star. Evie laments over being the only one without a star at this point. If they could foreshadow it anymore, it would be amazing. We have Jinx and Raja talking about how this bequeathing ceremony will be going when they are tasked with giving away their second legendary stars. And the Vivian comes back in with the plunger hidden from the girls at first. They're like, what happened to the plunger? She pulls it out from her behind her back. And when Jada was like, was that up your ass? Like, that was my favorite part of the entire interaction. Yeah. But Jinx says that she did not block the Vivian because the Vivian said she would have blocked her. What did you think about that statement?
I mean, like the rest of the world and Jinx herself, we all know that was bullshit. I mean, because, well, first of all, and maybe a controversial opinion on my part, Jinx should not have won. Point blank, period. That was Vivian's win. But then that would have been two Vivian wins in a row. But how do you, like, make use of the drama that was created when Vivian opened her mouth too damn much? You can't do that if she's a winner. So then they give it to Jinx, who then it's like, obvious play. Do it to Vivian. I think it makes the most sense. I mean, Vivian is on the upward track, and she has already established herself as an enemy of Jinx. So there literally was no reason not to. And it worked out.
Yeah. I mean, that was... I don't understand why she said it. It was giving me very Ms. Cracker in All Stars 5, where she was like, I couldn't sleep. I should have put Anjana's name in there. You know, I should have pulled a Bendela Creme and gotten some white out. Yeah. Why are you talking? Why? Yeah. Why are you saying things in a room of a social game like this? Like,
well, and
I think to yourself.
And I think what Jinx was doing after choosing Vivian was playing that social game. It's like, this wasn't just retribution. It's because you're so amazing, and I see you just like me or even better. So that's why I wanted to do this, to like put a rose on it. It's like, girl, no. Mm-mm.
Like, the roses are fine. You don't need to keep on adding more fertilizer. So please put your bullshit away. Thank you.
That part.
So we go to the next day. And RuPaul enters the workroom. I don't have door sound effects. I apologize. I'm only trying to be like 97% like Race Chaser. The other 3% is Pit Stop. So just trying to find inspiration where I can. But Ru comes into the workroom and tells them that they are going to take it back to the early 2000s and recreate the Y2K-ness of it all in the Total RuQuest Live Maxi Challenge. They are going to split into two teams of four, and each team is going to do a poppy 2000s-esque song. Neither of them are, like, there isn't... I don't know how I feel about like two separate songs or two completely different style songs. But at the same time, I also don't love when they do the same song and just do it like two different versions of it. Both have their pros and their cons. You know, we've gotten some amazingly fun songs out of the franchise that way. But when you have, it's like, what was it? Season 12. When they did the split opening for season 12, the first group had I'm That Bitch, and then the second group had that song. I don't remember the name of it, but it was the one that sounded like the Cell Block Tango.
Yeah.
And the second group was at such a disadvantage because, do you remember the name of that song?
No.
Do you remember anything from that song other than it sounded like the Cell Block Tango?
I remember that Dahlia was terrible in it. I remember that Jada was great for what it was. And I don't remember anyone else that was in it.
I know Rockham did a fart joke.
Yeah. Yeah, but you're right, though. I mean, the first episode so overshadowed it. Like, I can tell you everything about the first episode. I can even tell you that Britta was in it. I mean, that alone is an accomplishment. But, yeah, no.
My second favorite drag name of season 12.
Yeah.
I love Britta Filter, and I love JanSport. Like, I'm a sucker for punny or product names. Like, it just works.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with
you. But yeah, so when you have, you know, when you have two different songs, it always kind of feels like one group kind of gets the better of the two.
Yeah.
And so we had Titanic was one song, and then the other song, which in this case was actually, in my opinion, the better of the two. And I still can't remember the name of it.
Together Forever.
Oh, okay. There we go. Thank you.
Well,
I'm just a podcaster.
To put how Rue said it, together forever, to really emphasize it was a song. But I think they really miss an opportunity to like dive deeper into that early 2000s vibe, because what a monumental moment every time there was a collaboration. Like, how cool would it have been if they did their individual songs and then a surprise performance at the end of the episode where they did something together?
I mean,
they could have been the other misters.
You're not wrong about that.
It would have been cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the girls are then left to form the groups themselves, because nothing sparks drama like picking your own teams.
Oh, what juicy drama this was.
And essentially, the Titanic girls all pick each other without really saying anything. They're like, oh, well, we just figured since we were standing here, we would just do this. And Viv does not appreciate that and does not necessarily approve. What did you think about this drama, quote unquote drama, that took place around the team choosing?
Yeah, I mean, I understood where it was coming from. It was like, okay, you guys decided, we didn't even get to think about it, so... Like, I got it, but also it's like, they have Raja on the team. Like, I'm sorry, that's not someone I'm ever, like, really trying to be on a team with. Or Trinity. But you get Evie, who you know is going to kill it. You get Jinx, who kills it all the time. And Jada, who kills it. Like, you're on a powerhouse team. What's the complaint for? Like, that was an odd little, like, middle child moment.
That's a great way to describe it, because it really was. It really was that. And I look at Trinity's track record with show songs, and they're not horrible, but they're not standout moments. Raja doesn't have a lot of, there was no real like song back in the 1700s when she was on Drag Race.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean Shay and Monet really were the two that you expected the most from in that challenge, from that team.
Right. And you also want people that you can stand out against. And I'm sorry, Vivian would not stand out against them at all. Whereas, like, Trinity, you know she's going to just probably count to six again, like she did in Super Queen, and call it a day. Like, ugh, what a weird manufactured drama for the sake of just being upset.
And the funny part was, before I even watched the episode, I happened to be scrolling through Twitter, and Vivian had already posted about, like, she's like, I've been on TV for 20 plus years. She's like, I know how to make good television. She's like, that's all that was. And she's like, we're all good now. And I mean, regardless of whether or not she felt she was in her feelings at that moment, which she may have been. I mean, some people realize, some people don't. But I mean, at this point, we're going into episode 6. They've been there for about 2 weeks at this point, doing all of this stuff back to back to back. It get you, like, you can be in your feelings. And if she was, that's what it was. Like, and it's fine. And obviously, it all turned out okay at the end of the day.
Well, but, I mean, I know that if I've asked World of Wonder like 18 times just through Twitter, please come up with a season of Drag Race where it's all fresh newbies who have never done it before and they get like a mentor during that whole time. I want to be on it, and I know I would manufacture some crazy ass dumb drama just for the sake of doing it, just like Vivian did. I would definitely be this girl. I would absolutely be her.
I mean, you know, listen, you do what you got to do to make sure that you get the camera on you.
And she's done a great job the last three episodes of making sure that that's the case. And good for
absolutely.
Her. Yeah.
Absolutely. So not only are the girls tasked with writing their own verses, but they're also tasked with choreographing the performance as well. Any thoughts on the way the choreography portion shook out on the main stage?
Well, can I back you up one step? Because they were also tasked to come up with a team name and kind of like a storyline, which I was not anticipating. For a while, I was like, why do we care? Like, what your story is? So it didn't make sense until their performance. But I was like, I was really lost. But I really thought that it was like a really cool idea what the other girls were doing. Because like they were doing some off-the-wall shit. But they were definitely tapping into like the little pieces that you see in girl groups. Like Evie being the robotic one. There is someone who just like – who clearly is just there for the paycheck. You really do have the older one who is like, okay, maybe your time here is a little more limited than the others. Jada, I'm not really sure what she was really channeling in that regard. But I thought that was a really cool concept that played well for one of the teams at the end. It was good. But the choreography I thought was great.
And you're right. I did skip over that unintentionally, but because they didn't really explain any of that. I loved, although the online prep company Mister unintentionally got so much extra advertising. If there was only an I in there, it would have been perfect. Yeah. But when it was shown what it was for, it absolutely made 100% sense, because you forget about that portion of TRO where it's like, here's a performance. Okay, now let's have a little interview with the group. Yeah. And it really did work out well. And it kind of made it feel like, okay, well, Team Mister is really kind of cohesive. Like, they're very Y2K girl group. Like, it's so clicking. And then the other girls, this is weird. This is kind of odd. This is a little wonky. And then it just worked so well.
Yeah. Yeah. The choreography, the one thing that I love about this season is just the pure and utter goofiness of all of these queens. Like, you know, when Jada was playing the xylophone and Jinx was there and then Evie was laughing, like moving her arms, and then Monet was just like this. One of my favorite moments of television I've ever seen in my entire life. And then for this choreography, Jada was like, I guess I got to professionalize this for these people. I want to make us look good for the other team. Cut to Evie looking ridiculous. Like, the whole team just being batshit. It's just like, they are just so not afraid to just have fun with this and not care. And it's made it so much more enjoyable as a viewer that it isn't so focused on, oh my God, I'm not picking up the steps, and way more on, I'm with my girls, I get to kiki, and we just get to shoot the shit and have fun. That's so much more fun TV, in my opinion. But maybe it's only more fun TV because we know the girls already.
I think you're 100% right. I think that's the biggest part of it. We don't need to get to know the queens. We know these queens. They've been on our television screens, some of them one time through Drag Race, some of them twice. and we've fallen in love with them. And even if, like, I liked Jada before the season, but I knew who she was. I knew her personality, and to see it even more with less of the trepidation of going through this the first time, it is definitely so much, it's so much better to see this shine through that way. So
yeah,
it's a delight and a pleasure watching this season for sure.
And
so
really,
let's
is that one too, who, like, it's just like, it, like, I always loved her, but it's like almost a night and day kind of love. Like, I have fallen so deeply for this queen in ways I did not on her original season. It's just great. She's top notch.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Sonos makes it easy to create your perfect sound system and connect to all the content you love. Mix and match speakers to enjoy listening all around your home and beyond. Put on a movie in the living room, a podcast in the kitchen, and music on your patio. Or play one thing everywhere and control it all like magic with the Sonos app. Discover how easy it is to get started at sonos.com.
Hey there, listener. Do you have something to say? Then you're already a podcaster. You just don't know it yet. Whether you love to shoot the breeze with friends, have an urge to share your passion with the world, or even want to grow your business, you've got something worth saying with a podcast. With Acast, it couldn't be easier to start your own show. Launch, grow, and make money from your podcast across all listening platforms. If you have something to say, you're a podcaster. Head over to acast.com to get started for free.
So let's head on to the main stage, where Ross Matthews. I had nightmares about what they did to Ross in this Carson Daly makeover that they gave him. The hair, the sideburns, the soul patch. It disturbed me deeply.
Yeah.
The clothes, everything, every bit of it just haunted my nightmares.
Yeah. And again, like, I don't know why I wasn't expecting this, but I just wasn't expecting the challenge to unfold in this way. I just thought they would come out, do their song, leave. But they really did make it an episode, which I just thought was so cool. I love seeing Ross live her full new life in, you know, this world that she, caftan world that she has created for herself. It's really cool to watch. It's nice, you know, like, we love watching the queens, like, grow and blossom into who they are. And I feel like we've almost gotten that same kind of journey with Ross as well, with his confidence and the way that, you know, he critiques the girls. He's great. I loved it. But it was a truly creepy moment that it was very wild because it was so close to what Carson looks like.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. But I wasn't expecting it. And it was just so, it looked almost like a CGI Ross. And it was so, so bizarre.
Yeah.
But the first team up to perform is Team Mister. What were some highlights? Were there some critiques that you have from this performance?
There's something about Monet where I could watch her do these challenges every season all day long. She has such a great presence about her. Like, she's my favorite part of Super Queen. She is my favorite part of this. Like, even that Cher musical that I wasn't generally a fan of, I loved her part. She has such a stage presence about her. I just loved it. And she very much fit the tone of, you know, that era, which I thought was important, and of that song. Sometimes Drag Race girls have a tendency to write a track that doesn't actually have anything to do with the song itself. You know, it's just, she did a great job there. And I thought Shay, I was like, I love watching Shay, but this just felt like a repeat of past performances and didn't feel any new, but she has the formula. She has the formula down. It's always going to be good. It's just, this time it just wasn't thrilling. Make sense?
I can't disagree with you on most on what you're saying, because most of that is what I felt through this performance. It didn't have the oomph. And I don't know if it was because of it. It's tough when you're that good, because you have to be even better the next time we see you. And just being great oddly doesn't cut it.
Yeah.
Where, you know, Monet's performance was great. Shay's performance was great. But overall, and honestly, I think my biggest thing with this group, and maybe it kind of felt like four individual people all sharing the stage together. Like when somebody was performing, the other girls were kind of off to the side. When the other girls performed, which we'll get to here in a second, it felt like a girl group. They were interacting. There was a lot more where they interwove into each other's parts, and it felt more cohesive.
Yeah. I'm
a noted Trinity not fan. But between her and like her and Raja was like, they weren't bad. It just kind of felt like okay performances brought the entire group average down. And Mr. just did not live up to what I thought would have been an exceptional challenge for Monet and Shay.
I'm going to strongly disagree with you there. Raja was terrible. And she was just not good. There's a reason that you saw more of the audience during her parts than you saw of her. Great. The lyrics were fine. Did I understand them as she was saying them? No. Did she hit any of her beats? No, nothing. It was such a reminder to me. It was like, oh, they're making all the girls look good. Good for them. This is nice. That was terrible. But I will say one of my favorite parts about them was when they were doing the rowboat. Remember there were the three of them and they were like rowing because they're on Titanic. That was about it. Yeah. And then the performance ends. They go and talk to Carson. And it's like, that was so uncomfortable. They didn't practice that at all. I was like, what a weird, like, that is never announced on TRL. I don't know, get into a fight or something. But just like say you're going solo and then Trinity stares blankly off and like does an uncomfortable sound. Meter? What is meter? No, that was dumb.
So then the second performance of the challenge is the other girls. What were your thoughts on this performance?
When you as a group give yourselves the only goal of being as stupid as possible, you can always succeed. You can truly always succeed. I thought Vivian was great. Not a winner to me, but I thought she was great. It was very nice. She mentioned Foreskin, Team Foreskin. Good for her. But I thought she played really well into that aspect of just being the British person. Although I swear to God, if she mentions that she's British one more time in this whole series, I will lose my shit. Like, girl, no one cares anymore. And no one is surprised. It's fine. It's not something that's... Like, Snatch Game was the only reason that being British, like, you were held back, because no one understood those amazing references. But, yeah, that was very annoying. Jada, just talking about shit, was uncomfortably delightful. And I, again, she's one of those people that I could just watch every single day because she just commands the stage even when she's trying to shit. It's just wonderful. And then Jinx, just being an old woman, and falling down at the end. I mean, she played into her strength, but she's just someone who has surprised me this whole time of just like how much she can adapt to a musical performance that isn't her musical style. So that was really cool. And then Evie, not a winner for me. I mean, her most interesting part was when she was recording. Oh, the chaos of their recording session. We didn't even talk about that. Like listening to them all just do all of these random sounds, like truly, again, fabulous television to me. And we didn't even hear Evie like do her really cool sound. Like it was like in like the back of the song. And I was like, okay.
It felt like she didn't use any of that.
Yeah. But she committed to the
like
character.
Jinx's long note. Like, oh,
honestly, I would have
that
loved
montage
it.
Was amazing, though. That montage where they kept on going between the four of them and like Jada making the fart noises or the diarrhea noises, Jinx's note, Evie's modem. Like, that was fantastic editing. I enjoyed that.
But and see, like, and when Jinx said that she wanted to do a callback to her season five when she did a long note, I was like, how amazing would it have been if that was your whole verse? You just doing one note in as if you were singing a song, but like giving a call back to the Christina Aguilera times where they really tried to do that shit really so much. Like that would have been really entertaining. And then she could have been out of breath at the end. And then that's when she falls. I don't know. It would have been so cool. But yeah, they just didn't use any of that. But you are right that it felt like a much more cohesive and just like fun group to follow and to listen to. Like I would definitely listen to another song from them for sure.
Yeah,
absolutely. And then their interview, like actually everybody actually kind of gave a little bit of an answer. Like it felt rehearsed. It felt like they actually took the time to say, okay, how are we going to do this? Yeah. How is this going to come across? And that moment that they had in their like down the line interview actually worked and made sense at the end of the challenge.
Yeah. Yeah. The only one that, well, Jada's just made me uncomfortable just because like you did that whole performance. You had to shit like you, girl, you wrote the song like in theory months ago, you know, it's like, come on, girl, you've gone to the bathroom by then, or at least change your colonoscopy bag or something like that. But then like when Vivian was talking, she was like, and new music, like, what does that mean? Like, why did I miss a reference here? But Jinx saying that she was getting shots here and here and here. That I could just listen to Jinx talk all day.
She's amazing. Just amazing. So let's head to the main stage for the Night of 1,000 Dollies. Mm-hmm. Before we get to the Night of 1,000 Dollies, the guest judge. Did you know how to pronounce the guest judge's name before this episode?
Let me tell you about this. So the start of the episode, RuPaul says, and will be joined by a special guest judge, pop sensation Tuve Lu. And you know how they kick back to all the girls being really excited. And I was like, none of these bitches know who that is. None of them. Absolutely none of them. And then to see it written on screen, I was like, holy hell. I fucked up. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I've been so disrespectful to this artist this entire time. And I was floored. But now it's just such a fun name because it really is one of those names where it's just like, I would say it and I'm like, it doesn't feel right. Like whose name would be Tove Lo? Like we have plenty of dumb names in this world. That doesn't feel like one of them. But now Tuve Lu, all about it. So cool.
Well, and the funny part is, it's not even really Tuve. It's Tuva. Because when I heard it said in the opening, because Eve 6000 from Canada's Drag Race posted, so that's how you say it? And then, you know, Tuvalu retweeting her and saying, this is not news. like, this is her name. And apparently, if you watch the beginning of her video for Disco Tits, there's this whole like skit that she does at the beginning of it. And the puppet that's interviewing her is like this, you know, American talk show host. And he's like, all right, you know, so Tovlo, it's like, and Tuvalu. And he's like, oh, well, let's just say it, Tovlo. But this whole thing is in there. So when I heard, and it's so emphasized, every time that Rue says it, it's Tuvalu. Like, I'm like, all right, Rue, let's soften that up a little bit. Because yeah. It's Swedish, it's not German. Like, look, it's a little softer on the pronunciation. But yeah. Tuvalu, I forget how and when and why I knew this, but it's been my favorite thing to say whenever, like, I'm at the bar and a video is on. I'm like, oh, is this Tuvalu? And people are like, what?
See, this is why I know that I would not ever be a good regular host of a podcast, because I can't whip random shit out of my ass like you do. Like, some people who can whip out random pop culture references and understand these random facts and thoughts, like, I don't know how y'all do it, but that's what makes these podcasts interesting, is because y'all sprinkle in a little bit of, like, gotcha knowledge. I love it.
As a podcaster, you just have to be equipped with random bits of information that otherwise would not matter in life.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm here.
See, I would just look up like a random fact generator and just try to find some way to add it into a conversation.
I love it. So we hit the runway and it is the night of 1,000 dollies. What were some of your favorite looks? And did you have any looks that maybe did not quite cut it for you in the Dolly realness category?
Well, first of all, are you a big Dolly fan?
I am not.
Okay. I would not either. Do I consider her one of my gay icons? Yes. But is it for anything mm-hmm. musical related? No, not really. So I'm really just familiar with 9-to-5 Dolly and Vaccine Dolly. And not really much in between. So all of this, I was very fortunate that they put up those references next to it.
Yeah.
I thought Monet's coat was absolutely stunning. But had you told me that that was Dolly Parton, I wouldn't have known, like, in the least. And Raja, like, the makeup on Raja and Trinity was so wild. But I feel like they got it some of the best. Like, is Dolly normally that wild with her makeup? Is she like an old person that's constantly shaking as she's putting on her lipstick? Like, what? How? Did I miss something?
I don't think so. I mean, Dolly's always been, like, one of Dolly's most famous quotes is, it takes a lot of money to look this cheap. So she is very drag.
Yeah.
In general. So to take Dolly and drag her up and do a, you know, to do it in a drag form is difficult because, you know, she is already so kind of exaggerated. And I think that's where Trinity and Raja, you know, kind of were with it.
Yeah.
I like their looks. I think they both captured Dolly. I loved Monet's look. I loved it. And I maybe have a few more Dolly touch points, not a ton. But when she came out, I thought she looked fantastic. Like, I thought it was great. The only one for me that I didn't love, and I think it had a lot to do with the hair, was Shay. And a little bit of Evie. Like, I got the reference. I saw the outfit and I got the reference this time. This was better than the Vanna White realness. But I don't think it was something that would have put her over the top as a winner or a top two in this episode for me. I didn't think that she was that far and away so good to be in the top two that her runway didn't matter.
Yeah.
But a lot of times the runways don't matter.
Well, they did this episode, I would say. Because I'm sorry, I do not think Vivian would have been in the top had she not looked that good. And I almost guarantee you she submitted in some audition tape at some point her rendition of doing a lip sync of Dolly. I mean, that's why she won, because we needed to see that incredible moment. Like,
yeah,
that's, but like with Evie, like there's something about these like realness ones. Like Evie always interprets the realness stuff very loosely. She was like, my realness is, had Evie grown up as Dolly Parton or Vanna White? What if Evie was doing Vanna White from the start? How weird would I be? Like, and what direction would I take it? And that's why I like Evie. I didn't like her look. I never seemed to actually like her realness looks because she, her mold doesn't fit into those things. But that's what she tries to do. Whereas Vivian was like, I'm an impersonator. And yeah. Evie was like, I'm not an impersonator, but I'll give it my shot. You know, so I don't know. I think this was just going to be Evie's win, whether or not it was going to be Evie's win, because I'm not sure Evie will get another win.
I mean, we'll see how it all shakes out for sure. I yeah, it'll be interesting to see how we're coming into the home stretch. So it'll be very interesting to see how the competition shakes up, because I can't see this being like, oh, you have 4 stars, so you're in the top. Like there's gonna be some shit that's gonna happen that's gonna start having stars flying left, right, and center, because I don't see it being this cut and dry going to the end. There yeah. have to be some things that make it a little bit more cutthroat and add a little more drama than just the plunger, the platinum plunger that's really gold.
Yeah, I mean, we really only have like what, 10 more stars to give out in theory? Because if we're halfway through the season, yeah. that means there's 6 episodes left, which 5 of them would be star giving episodes. And mm-hmm. so they have to double up the stars and you get to take them so that someone takes commanding lead, because going into midway and everyone's pretty even Steven is, I guess, good for the duration of the show, but a little kind of like, okay, well then what did we do here? What was the point of yeah. this? But I mean, you can't give Jinx the 4 stars that she deserves either. So
there's going to be some sort of Mario Party twist and somebody's going to be real hurt by the end of this.
Right. Bianca Del Rio is going to come in by episode 8 and still manage to win.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
So we do get the top 2 for this week as the Vivian and Evie. Oddly, the Vivian was blocked, so she does not get a legendary star. However, adding on to the one that she was gifted by Raja at the beginning of the episode, Evie oddly gets her 2nd legendary star, joining Jinx and Jada in the top half, roughly, 3/8 of the cast with 2 stars now. We get the lip sync song of Why Do You Come In Here Looking Like That?
Can I ask you a quick question first? I'm so sorry. Because we didn't yes. really talk about it. Did you think that giving away stars was fair? Or played into the spirit of the show?
But before we even dive into the lip sync, let's talk about that. Mm-hmm. So we'll double back. You know what it was? Before we started recording, we had a little conversation. And then we got to that point and it just kind of slipped by. So Raja and Jinx have their 2 stars that they're going to be able to give away. Rue tells them that they will be given away at the beginning of the next week, so the next morning. And we get a little bit of them chatting with each other to decide who they should give the stars to. So through the magic of stealing other people's post information, Willem posted that the girls were directed by the producers that they could not give each other the stars. Because, I mean, honestly, like at that point, just give each other the stars. You both won. Cool. All right. Now you got 2 stars. So they were tasked with giving the stars to the other girls. There are a couple of ways to think about this. And I speculated on our last episode about whether or not you would want to give away your stars to somebody that already has one. Or do you go with somebody who doesn't have one? Knowing that you're going to be going to a lip sync SmackDown, do you give your stars to somebody that is a lip sync assassin? So I don't know what I would do. What would you have done? Or what are your thoughts on how this all shook out in the star distribution ceremony?
So I'll talk about two things. First, who I would choose. And then also if this is fair and plays into the spirit of the game. Because I've had numerous thoughts on the last one. So first, Evie is the obvious choice because you just want to even the playing field. And I think if you think about the logical progression of the show, it probably will be one of her fewest. Because she is considerably stronger or less strong in every single area than at least one of the other queens. Shay and Trinity will always beat her at design. Vivian and Jinx will always beat her at acting. You know, that kind of stuff. So that makes sense. And then with the other one, probably would have just given it to Evie, but I don't know if they could both choose the same person. So I guess my logical one would be more of a like alliance sort of play. Like if I like if I were Jinx, I probably would have given it to Monet or Shay out of like a respect for I appreciate and respect what you are doing. So that would have been my choice. But at first I was like, this just isn't even fair. Because like, what is the point of, you know, being there to show your talents and get rewarded, be a star, and then that's how you get there when you can just give away stars to people just for shits and giggles? And then I thought about it more. I was like, but it's actually the perfect way to demonstrate one of the unspoken rules of being a winner is that you have to be a representative of the brand and you have to get along with other people and you have to build positive relationships and you have to represent yourself well. So it's like, okay, I probably thought way too deep about this, but it's like, you have to build that relationship within that community and whoever can do that the best can kind of be rewarded with like a star for that. And I thought, which kind of helped me make sense of Jada. I was like, yeah, everyone loves her. She is the person who is doing that the best in the room of that relationship building. So that was my full circle moment on the legendary legend stars.
I definitely can see where you're coming from with that. There are so many ways to think about this that I don't think that there is ever a way where you can say that person was wrong thinking that, because there are so many ways to think about how this game will shake out and how the next couple of episodes will play out, because there could be a point where either Jada's in a position and could potentially block Jinx, but she won't now. She probably won't, because that's her buddy who gave her another star. Mm-hmm. You know, so there are so many ways to think about it. And these girls are in the pressure cooker of, you know, a 4-week filming to do all 12 episodes, you know, probably. It usually takes about a month to film a season. So, you know, you don't have a lot of time. You don't get a week to think about this and kind of mull it over. You know, you're either at the very most have the weekend, because, you know, they get a day or two off to, you know, because they can't work 7 days straight. And at worst, it's the next morning that you have to have this all figured out. So you don't get a lot of time to think about it and to figure it out. But Raja gives Evie her star, her extra star, and Jinx gives Jada hers. And with that, going into this, that does give Evie her second star. And we get this lip sync of "Why'd You Come Here Looking Like That" by Dolly. And there was two different lip syncs going on to two different songs at this point. You kind of hit on a little bit of the feeling for this lip sync earlier. But what did you think overall of these two performing this song?
It was like Dolly was up there and then someone was making fun of her the whole time. I mean, Vivian proves again over and over again that she is a masterclass of impersonation. And like, I don't know much about Dolly, but I have seen her perform. Like I can remember that. That is very much her style. Like she encapsulated it perfectly. I was astounded by it. Evie was wild, and still don't fully understand what she did there. But I think in her head, she knew exactly that what the outcome of this lip sync was going to be. So do whatever the fuck you want. Do it as Evie, as Dolly. That works.
When it was the two of them at first, I was like, okay, Evie's taking this. Evie's a great lip syncer. Like, it's just what it's going to be. And then it started, and I immediately said, well, never mind. The Vivian is taking this.
Did you forget what song it was or something? Like, what about that song did you think Evie was going to bend?
I didn't know what song it was.
Oh, okay, when, gotcha. When lights come down, yeah. And then we find out. I understand. Okay.
Exactly. When Rue announced Evie and Viv as top two, that's when I was like, oh, okay, Evie has this.
To a Tove Lo song. Like, that would have made sense.
Yeah, if it was Tuvalu, Evie had it. It would have been in the bag. We'd have been good. If it had been something, yeah, if it had been something else, it would have probably been an Evie win. And then it was like, okay, why'd you come here looking like that by Dolly? Okay, never mind. This is Viv's win. Yeah. And it was. Vivian wins. She is now, I think, the second highest cash earner on the show so far at 21.5. Yes. I think $1,000 shy of Jinx, who, if I'm not mistaken, is at 22.5. They both won two lip syncs, and Jinx won the mini challenge, the reading mini challenge, and got 2,500, and Viv got 1,500 from the Wheel of Fortune spinning wheel game that they played at the beginning.
That is very impressive.
So both queens doing really well.
Yeah, that's impressive. You did all that and you don't even have a spreadsheet in front of you.
Yeah, I know there is a chart on one of these pages somewhere, but I don't know where it is and I wasn't going to go look for it. But I was like, okay, I'm pretty sure I remember these numbers. But with that win, Jinx's fair game and turnabout became fair play, and Jinx gets the block once again.
Yeah.
Is this what you would have done if you had the platinum but really gold plunger?
No, because I would have put on my producer hat and I would have thought about the trajectory of the race. It's like, you don't have to be brand new to know who the front runners in this are. And when you see someone like Shay, who is noticeably fading into the background, which was almost kind of heartbreaking for like to see her say that, but it's like, oh yeah, you just said what we're all thinking. And then also for Monet to not have any wins, like, you know they're coming. But then you also think about what could potentially be left. And I would think that it would probably be more acting challenges coming up. So Jinx probably was a smart move in that regard. Because logically, a acting challenge is probably up next. So I was really surprised in the preview when it was not that at all. And I'm sure, but it also made me think, is like, if they had all this planned out, they can just pick and choose whatever one they do next to fit whatever plunging sort of situation that they had. So yeah, I think it was a worthwhile gamble that just didn't pay off.
And that's the thing, where in a regular season, you have number of queens and challenge numbers to fit. In this, you know, you're just going eight across the board. So you really can put any episode at any point.
Yeah.
So
it gives the producers a lot more flexibility.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And now, before we get a wrap up, I'm going to ask you what I ask everybody. Who were your top two? For All-Star Season 7.
For the whole season.
the whole season. Who do you think will be the top two standing atop Mount Rucropolis competing in that final lip sync SmackDown?
My best bet, first is probably my biggest surprise, which is Jinx. I think Jinx will definitely be in the top two. My only fear with that is, can she actually do a entertaining lip sync? And so, like, if I were playing Jinx, I'd be like, okay, the end challenge is a lip sync challenge. Let me not whip out all my shit now. Let me give these girls something to, I think they can beat me on. And then whoever chooses me first, I got you. We're done. And then I can get in the top two. So that's my only fear there. But then the next one would be Shay. I think there are definitely some challenges coming up that she's going to slay and just really kill it. So I have no qualms about her. I know she'll be there.
Love it. Love it. Yeah. Love it. Love it. All right, Dan. Well, I appreciate you joining me on this recap. I know I mentioned it at the beginning of the episode, but let the fans at home listening know where they can find you on social media if they would like to follow along with your musings and or thirst traps.
Yeah, I'm Dan in Bathrooms on Twitter and Instagram, and my boyfriend won't let me start an OnlyFans, so if you want me to have one of those, please let him know.
Not you sending the listeners to go DM and be like, listen, I mean, you can always turn on tips and just send out videos. I'm just saying.
This is valid.
Just saying.
This is valid.
Dan, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate the time and the chat, and hopefully we'll have you back on in the not too distant future.
Anytime. I always have opinions.
Dear listeners, thank you so much for hanging out with us on this episode of Flame On. We are here every other week with pop culture goodness, and during All Star 7 every week with our recaps. You can check us out online at flameonshow.com. And if you are so inclined, head over to patreon.com/flameonshow, where you can join at any one of the four levels that we have for you. And who knows, maybe you could be sitting in the co-host chair dishing on your favorite pop culture with us. But until next time, peace.
Sonos makes it easy to create your perfect sound system and connect to all the content you love. Mix and match speakers to enjoy listening all around your home and beyond. Put on a movie in the living room, a podcast in the kitchen, and music on your patio. Or play one thing everywhere and control it all like magic with the Sonos app. Discover how easy it is to get started at sonos.com.